to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It's Chris with another NXT review. It's a show we're reviewing today, 12-4. Big show. Big show. We're about 10 days out from Survivor Series and War Games. What a fantastic pay-per-view that was. Not a lot going on this week in WWE. It's very strange, you know, that there was a new title shown for The Fiend. You know, last week we mentioned how they changed it to blue. This week he went out with a Fiend face title. So his face is actually on the title from now on. And it's a little strange, you know, when I saw that they were selling that title online. Like, I'm a big Fiend fan. I'm a big Fiend merch fan. Haven't been to a show in quite a while, but definitely, you know, moving out here to Vegas in May, kind of, I just missed a show. There was one, like, right after I moved here. It was a SmackDown in, I want to say in September or so. But at the time, I worked nights. Now I work all days and sometimes late nights, but I work all days. And so, you know, I do get to watch NXT and any other wrestling. I choose to just watch NXT, catch the highlights of everything else. Appreciate you guys listening. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. Also on Twitch at @TheCOPlaceToGo. And of course at @WWE_podcast on any of your podcast platforms where you can hear this. It is something that I'm trying to work on the Twitch. It didn't work out. My computer is, oh my God, I don't know, probably 7 years old for my laptop. I do have a newer one, but for some reason OBS doesn't really work great on either one of these. I don't have any good gaming ones or anything like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to get this working video. I did a little bit last week, but it put out little snippets, like little small videos. And I wasn't 100% sure how it would come out. Obviously, it didn't come out super great. Continuing on this weekend, WWE, Seth Rollins turns heel. Well, the beginning of the heel turn happened, was it a week or two ago? And you figure Authors of Pain last week, who came out and kind of, I don't want to say stood up for him, but, you know, played their part in Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens' conversation. At this point, you know, Authors of Pain come out and they look like badasses. They want to fight everybody. They want to take everybody out, but they let Seth Rollins walk by. I think this would be a good natural partnership between the three. You know, I think Seth Rollins needs a faction. I don't think he is great by himself. I think the work that he did in the Shield was fantastic. The Shield in general. You know, I'm not a huge Roman Reigns guy, but Shield in general was fantastic, and I think Roman Reigns, you know, being by himself is a little more natural in comparison to Seth Rollins. Also announced were the NXT Year End Awards. I think there's going to be some tough choices on matches of the year. You know, male superstar of the year, female superstar of the year. I mean, for me, you got to go with Rhea Ripley. I think she's done great, but she's kind of come on in the second half of the year. You know, if you look at it overall, you almost have to go Shayna Baszler. She's been the champion, but I think Rhea Ripley towards the end of the year has totally deserved it. Whether she continues that trend or not, I'm not really sure. You know, I hope so. Also, Mauro Ranallo is back on this show tonight. I was pretty critical of Mauro Ranallo last episode, and I'm going to continue being critical of Mauro Ranallo. I just don't feel that, you know, in the genre that he's in wrestling, in the microscope that he has on him, being on TV, being a voice of a brand, you know, he's the voice of NXT. I feel like, you know, there will be criticism, and the criticism that Corey Graves gave, I don't think was wrong. I know some people, like I was talking about last week, were calling for his firing. I think that's awful. I think that's terrible. It's not one of those things that I think he should be fired for. And he's not. You know, he's got his own show. He can be a little more edgy on that. Obviously, I'm assuming WWE's behind that. I would assume they'd have to be. But I don't know, Mauro Ranallo's back, and you know, he is too much sometimes, and I don't, you know, the best to him, hope for the best. He is, to me, a ticking time bomb, and I think eventually he will quit based off of some comments made, whether they are, you know, justified or not. I do think he will quit one day. We're going to go with our birthdays before we get into the NXT show. So, first birthday today, Victor from the Ascension. Ascension, great NXT tag team. I mean, when they were in it, in NXT, you know, to me, I feel like there was some legitimacy in their tag team. They get brought up to WWE, and they're a joke. They get brought up, they're made into bootleg Road Warriors for a little bit. I mean, they're still up there now. I don't, you know, Connor and Victor, if they were back in the NXT tag team division, I think it would be fantastic for the division because it to me, it's lacking teams. But yeah, they were brought up and used improperly. One thing I found interesting about Victor is that he was trained in the Hart Dungeon by Bruce Hart. I was very surprised to know that. So that, you know, that's one positive, and you know, I think they do great work in the ring. Another one is Brooke Testmacher. You miss Techmacher, you know. She was part of the Extreme Exposé with Kelly Kelly for WWE's version ECW. Mainly spent time in TNA. That's pretty much what she's known for. Also, in the past, has done modeling with Hawaiian Tropic and for Hooters. Hooters is a company that I've worked for previously about 8 years in my life. Recently, working for a sister property, at a property out here in Vegas for them. But yes, yeah, so that is... she was 35. Victor turned 39, so... young. Victor's young in comparison to what I thought. Brooke is doing fantastic. I think around the Chicago area, I believe she was, if I'm not mistaken. Looking at last week's matches for NXT, what really stood out for me is Balor versus Ciampa. Obviously, you know, two guys who are in the title hunt. Adam Cole comes out towards the end. Balor interferes. Cole picks up the win on Ciampa. You have Balor standing with Adam Cole towards the end. He turns. I mean, if you want to call it a turn, wouldn't necessarily say that they were together ever, but he turned on Adam Cole with a nice bicycle kick at the end. And then the first match of the night, you had Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic versus Undisputed Era, and it started out Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish did get injured in that. What to me looked like a concussion. Looks like he landed on his head. And you had Roderick Strong come in. Undisputed Era picks up the win, but it was a very good match that I think those two matches alone are worth watching last week's show. Some of the promos that stood out, obviously, at the beginning, there was a big celebration for the Survivor Series win. The War Games, just spectacular, that was put on Saturday night. Cheesy vignette by Cameron Grimes. Who I think Trevor Lee is a great wrestler. Cameron Grimes not sold on his character yet, but he is kind of growing on me. At the beginning, I was like, can we get this guy out of here? But he was good. And then last thing on the show, which was kind of like a WWE.com exclusive, was the referee, Jessica Carter. It was her last match. She was heading to SmackDown. 100% not sure if she was on SmackDown on Friday night. She will definitely 100% be on tonight. This Friday. She will be on SmackDown for sure then. But I did not watch anything SmackDown related other than catching the top 10 highlights, and I did not notice if she was on there. So we're going to transition into tonight's show. So tonight's show didn't have a lot of build to it. You had Killian Dane versus Damian Priest. That was pretty much the only thing that was actually mentioned for the show. It wasn't very hyped up, or there weren't any matches that were promoted for this match prior to day of. So obviously your first match here is going to be Killian Dane versus Damian Priest. Now, spoiler alert, Damian Priest is not clear due to an injury. It's apparently a rib injury that he suffered War Games Survivor Series weekend. He wasn't there last week, not out again. You know, the classic promo where you have Killian Dane in the ring. I'm not leaving the ring until somebody comes out. And you have Mauro Ranallo saying that William Regal clarified and confirmed the fact that Damian Priest is out with that rib injury. Out comes Pete Dunne to a huge pop. You know, I almost felt like it was either going to be him or Tyler Bate. Watching it, I thought it'd be Tyler Bate, you know, maybe take a step back from the Pete Dunne, Killian Dane feud that's been going on right now. Because Tyler Bate was involved a little bit, so I kind of expected him and hoped for him. I mean, I love Pete Dunne, but I was kind of hoping for a little Tyler Bate. Dunne immediately goes after Killian Dane. Dunne hit him with a big kick. And then his classic, as Mauro Ranallo would say, this small joint manipulation. Just working on Dane's hands, fingers, arms. There's a lot of back and forth between the two. Dunne gets tossed out to the floor at one point. Dane charges him into the ropes, gets kicked in the head. He re-enters, goes to the top of Dane, takes him down with a running crossbody into a senton. It was actually a pretty good sequence of events. Dane hit another running crossbody out of the corner for a nice little two count. Then we had Pete Dunne take control. You had Pete Dunne hit a German suplex, a very nice German suplex, and then a superplex, which, you know, obviously on a guy like Killian Dane, that takes some work. You know, you see Randy Orton do superplexes all the time, and Randy Orton himself is, what, 240? Maybe even more. And you got a guy like Killian Dane who is not too much bigger than Pete Dunne in terms of height. Pete Dunne is small. Killian Dane is a pretty good-sized man, but in terms of weight, it is night and day between the two guys. Dunne then hits a tornado DDT. He had a big moonsault onto Dane on the outside. Dane ends up catching Dunne, swims on the edge of the apron, then hit another senton on the floor, his little running senton. The finishing sequence to me left room to continue the feud, which might have been the direction they were going here. Dane hit a nice cannonball on a Pete Dunne in the steel steps. That is kind of classic Killian Dane at this point. Dunne blocked a Vader bomb by lifting the knees up. Dane hit a nice sit-down powerbomb. At this point, you know, Dane goes to the top rope. Now, I'm not really sure what he's going for here. A guy like Killian Dane, with all the power moves and just the, you know, the beast that he is, why is he going to the top rope? We don't need a guy like that going to the top rope. Dunne followed, put him in a sleeper. After a little bit of fight, Dane falls on top of Dunne on the ground while he's in the sleeper, which put him in a pinning predicament, and Dane actually got the three count, basically dead weight and Pete Dunne on the ground. This match, just because I'm a fan of both of these guys, I was going with a 3 out of 5 on this one. It was a match. It was worth seeing. It continues a feud. I really like Damian Priest. I was really hoping he would be in this position for a nice little one-on-one match, but we didn't get it. But Pete Dunne being the addition was good. And I would actually like to see a little Tyler Bate. I would love to see a tag team match, but I just don't think you can get Damian Priest and Killian Dane on the same page. But that's the direction I would like to see going forward. Next match you have is going to be Shayna Baszler versus Xia Li. Xia Li, to me, has been relatively impressive the last couple weeks. She, seems to be pretty strong. Seems to be a force. I believe she, you know, broke Aaliyah's nose, took out Vanessa Bourne. Two people who I'm not, you know, hugely, you know, high on. But between her and Shayna Baszler, there was Li got an early takedown on Shayna Baszler. Baszler kind of reversed it, gets a takedown of her own, and then it gets reversed again by Xia Li. Xia Li hit a nice tornado dropkick, which kind of ended her offense towards the beginning of the match. Baszler started working on the arm. She spent a good portion of the beginning and middle of the match on Xia Li's arms. Xia Li ended up kind of getting out of the holds. Went to kick Baszler, who caught the kick and turned into a single leg Boston Crab, which was a pretty nice little sequence coming out of the reversal of the submission holds and the arm wear. Li countered, eventually sends Baszler to the mat. She unloads with a lot of strikes in the corner. The ref backs her off and they head to the other corner. As Baszler's heading back into the corner, she slams Li into it. He climbs up for a gut wrench superplex, which Li fought off. She fought it off into a sunset flip powerbomb for a nice two count. I mean, that was offense that I wasn't personally expecting to see against Shayna Baszler, but she did pull it off. Lee then goes for another tornado dropkick, which she gets caught after she misses that in the Karafuta clutch, and that was game over for Xia Li. The match to me was nothing spectacular. It did have some moves, and for two women who I think are pretty rough house style wrestlers, this wasn't necessarily that type of match. There was a lot of submission, and of course Shayna Baszler's submission. I mean, she was in UFC, which you know, the Karafuta clutch is clearly a rear naked choke in all senses of what it is. And, you know, it was a good match for what it was. It didn't stand out. I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5. It wasn't a terrible match, like I said, but it wasn't something that would make me like, oh, I want to see this match on the show. But it sets up matches going forward by kind of taking Xia Li out of the conversation for being top. Because you've got 3-4 people, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, of course Rhea Ripley, even Candice LeRae to a small sense. You got Dakota Kai's heel turn. You got a lot of women who are above Xia Li, but it was nice to see Xia Li get some more TV time. Next match was Forgotten Sons versus two jobbers. Now, I don't want to call them jobbers, and I do hate to say that, but there are two guys from Evolve, Leon Ruff and Adrian Alanis. Now, Leon Ruff is actually one of the half of the tag team champions in Evolve with AR Fox. And if any of you listening have a chance to see AR Fox, I saw a match with AR Fox and Teddy Hart in Rahway, New Jersey one time in a YMCA almost. And it was absolutely fantastic. Teddy Hart picks up the win, but AR Fox is unbelievably talented. He most recently was in Lucha Underground. That's the last time I saw him. But he is half of the tag team champions in Evolve with Leon Ruff. Now, Ruff immediately charges Blake and Cutler. It was Blake and Cutler for the Forgotten Sons. Riker was hanging out on the outside. And Ruff immediately charges Blake as the bell rings. Blake beats him down, and Cutler comes in for a huge double team. Alanis came in, but this match was a hugely forgotten, no pun intended, match. For me, it gets a 1 out of 5. It was the only thing that saved this match from being literally zero was after the match, Riker grabs Ruff and chokeslam him from in the ring, outside over the ring apron, which to me was the best part of the match. That was a nice little sequence for me, but like I said, 1 out of 5, this match didn't have a lot going for it, in my opinion. Next match presented on the show is going to be Dakota Kai and Rhea Ripley. Very much looking forward to this once I heard this match was going to be on, just due to the issues at War Games. As Kai enters, of course, with Tegan Nox's knee brace, which to me was absolutely fantastic. It was brilliant to have her carry that along. It was, you know, similar to the Ciampa crutch in a different aspect, but similar to the Ciampa crutch. And I believe Johnny Gargano used to carry around Ciampa's knee brace, if I'm not mistaken. So now, during Ripley's entrance, out comes Mia Yim. So what ended up being a match never ended up necessarily being a match, as Ripley never got in. And, you know, as a big Rhea Ripley fan, seeing Mia Yim come in to take her place in a match, highly unexciting, unacceptable. I'm okay on Mia Yim. A little rougher, I think, than a lot of the women in NXT and WWE in general. You know, outfit reminds me a little bit of Lita's outfits back in the day. Obviously not the charisma of Lita. Lita's one of those people that you can't really duplicate. But Mia Yim came down. She rushed the ring, takes Kai down with some strikes. Kai fights back. Yim hits her with a big boot that sends her to the floor. At that point, I was looking for a little bit of a fight out of Rhea Ripley, but Rhea just threw her right back in the ring. You know, classy. Gotta stay classy. Dakota Kai ended up taking control. Yim counters with a kick to the head a few times, but Kai counters that with a kick to the head. Yim launched her into the barrier, and they start fighting backstage. So they take the fight backstage. So at this point, Rhea Ripley's still at ringside. Now, why is she still at ringside by herself? Why didn't she leave? Not 100% sure. Of course, Shayna Baszler's music hits. The horsewomen triple team Rhea Ripley. Baszler makes her pass out in the Kurofita clutch. So it looked like she was passed out before that. On TV, you had Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir holding and pulling both her arms against the ropes while you have Baszler kind of choking her out from behind and like pushing on her neck, and then gets her in the clutch. She goes to sleep. Baszler takes the mic and says she will give her her title shot on December 18th. That is huge. That is 2 weeks from today, where I think will be Rhea Ripley winning. I just feel like, you know, being at that point 6 weeks away from Royal Rumble and World Collide, I just cannot see Baszler keeping the title. I'd like to see Ripley go into that match, potentially with Kaylee Ray, for a title versus title shot. I would just love to see that, and I hope that's kind of the direction they go. This was never a match, and I was a little bit disappointed that Rhea Ripley didn't come in. There was a little bit of action, but this is two consecutive 1 out of 5 matches for me. So far, an underwhelming show with just Pete Dunne, Killian Dane, kind of, you know, the only thing that's holding the show together. The next match was Matt Riddle and Cassius Ohno. Cassius Ohno, he's been on NXT UK a lot lately, and, you know, I do apologize that I don't cover NXT UK, but it's not something that I see or have the time to see. It will be a pay-per-view I cover, you know, with the combo of both. So there's going to be a lot of guys that I don't know. So I'm not, you know, I know Imperium, obviously, and some other guys on there. But I don't really know a lot about NXT UK. And, you know, Cassius Ohno to me is a guy who was really big back in the day, left. Kind of was around in the indies for a while. Came back. To me, he's almost a guy who puts over people, works with people. I think he is, you know, almost a trainer in the ring at this point. I feel like that's kind of what he has become and what he should be. I mean, he's a vet. I've been around a long time. To me, he should be the guy that propels, you know, future talent in NXT. The fans were clearly behind Matt Riddle in this match. There was a lot of, you know, back and forth, locking it up at the beginning. They would break, size each other up. Ohno went to work down on the arm, but Riddle counters and takes Ohno down. Fans are, like I said, are huge with Matt Riddle in this match. Ohno with some knee strikes to Matt Riddle. He keeps control with another headlock. Riddle fights out, hits a big German suplex in the middle of the ring. I'm really impressed by Matt Riddle's German suplexes. Suplexes in general, but his Germans are looking great recently. Riddle unloaded with some kicks in the corner. Hits a nice running forearm to send Ohno to the floor for a little break. I would say he needed just a little bit of a break. Riddle had a nice running kick to the face, which is where we went to commercial. And, you know, the thing about the commercial breaks in this is, you know, sometimes it goes to full commercial, sometimes it doesn't. You know, when it is on commercial, you get the little split screen, which I'm not a huge fan of. You know, back in the day, old school Nitro and Raw, you know, they would go in a submission hold, and you could tell almost when they were going to commercial, when they were, you know, two bigger guys who've been in the ring for 7 to 10 minutes, who are now both, there's a headlock on the ground, when in reality we should be in the climax of the match. You know we're going to commercial. It's not the same anymore. Back from the break, you had Riddle just taking out Cassius Ohno with kicks. Ohno kind of came back, hit a nice little chop to the throat, big boot to Riddle to just level him. He gets him in a submission, the middle of the ring, and then slams him out of the hole, but Riddle kicks out at 2. There was never a point in this match where I feel that Ohno had a true chance to win. But, you know, it's good to get a little offense in, obviously. You have then Ohno who, after this kick out, he kept Riddle grounded. Riddle finally got out and hit a nice senton on Ohno. Riddle missed a kick and a standing moonsault. At this point, Ohno grabs his feet, but Riddle lands a nice knee to the face. Riddle caught him with a bro to sleep and then a powerbomb. And then Riddle go to the top to hit the floating bro for a very, very close 2 count. Ohno somehow still alive, you know. Riddle's hit, what, 3-4 big name moves. Ohno counters with a nice suplex. And hits another big suplex across the ring. Ohno goes for his gotch lift, but Riddle resists. Riddle countered hit the ripcord knee, and then the Broderick for the win, which is similar to like a tombstone suplex in a sense. That match, it had some good back and forth. Like I said, it's nice seeing Cassius Ohno back, knowing he's not going to come out with a win on someone like Matt Riddle. I give the match a 3 out of 5. It was actually pretty good, especially after the last two matches. I mean, this match was a 5 out of 5 compared to what we just recently saw before that. But like I said, 3 out of 5 on this. Next, we have returning Kushida, who was going to be facing off with Raul Mendoza, who I was pretty happy with the idea of this match in terms of for Kushida, because you don't want him to go against a big-name guy just because it is his first match back. You know, you never know the rust level and how he's going to be portrayed on TV. So Mendoza's getting ready to enter the ring when Cameron Grimes comes down and gives him the double stomps at the top of the ramp. Brutal-looking move every single time. And, of course, you know, it sounds a lot worse being up on the ramp. Grimes at this point says it's his fight now. At this point, Grimes drops Kushida first, but Kushida sends Grimes out of the ring to the floor with a big kick. Kushida nailed a huge planza to the floor, which got a big pop. Action goes back in the ring. You know, Kushida is a guy who I don't know too much about, who has been relatively impressive from what I've seen. You know, his match with Walter, considering the style and size difference, to me was actually pretty good. You know, Grimes fights off a bunch of submissions from Kushida. Eventually, he gets the Kushida gets the octopus submission in. Grimes blocked a nice tornado DDT and caught a handspring back elbow, which he hit to a big German suplex fresh out of that counter for a nice two count. Grimes hit a sliding knee, starts focusing on the arm. Kushida avoids the clothesline, hits a big drop kick. Grimes tried another German suplex, but Kushida countered it with a roll up. One of the underwhelming moves in wrestling today is that roll up. This match to me a 2.5 out of 5. I was happy to see, you know, Kushida back. I like Cameron Grimes, like I mentioned. He's kind of a cheesy character, but for me, what he puts forth in the ring should outweigh that character completely. This match gets a 2.5 out of 5 for me. It loses the half point. It was going to be a 3 out of 5, but with that roll up for the win, it's one of those things. It's a shame that so many matches can be won by a roll-up, especially when there can be so much action. There are times where roll-ups are needed. Back when Ric Flair wrestled, roll-up, you know, Ric Flair with the roll-up or the eye poke, just the things that are illegal were classic for Ric Flair. Like, to me, that was the time it was. Today, guys are bigger, stronger. The moves they do, a roll-up can't be what pins somebody when you get out of a huge German suplex or a superplex, or you know, people are getting out of spears and super kicks, but a roll up, really, that's what's going to beat you? I don't know about that. Final match is going to be your main event. It is the Undisputed Era versus Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, and Tommaso Ciampa. Kind of a similar, almost, replay of War Games. Three guys from each team. Obviously, Bobby Fish is out and Kevin Owens is on Monday night, but this was like a little bit of a replay of that. I'm not going to cover a lot of the moves in this match, because this match, there was a lot of great moves. This is a match, to me, it was a 4 out of 5 match, something that you're going to want to see. That's why I don't want to cover too much in it, because I don't want to blow too many of the moves. I'm going to go towards the end for you, because to me that was huge. As Lee and Cole tag in for like a hot tag, Lee unloads on everybody. Especially Adam Cole. He destroys Adam Cole in this sequence. Cole retreated to the floor. Lee runs the ropes to dive out, but all three opponents scatter. Lee goes to the floor. You know, it's not like the Big E, where Big E dives out of the ring and looks like he legitimately breaks his back or anything like that. Keith Lee wouldn't do a move like that, and it wouldn't take the bump that I think somebody like, you know, Big E would do. But he goes to the floor, hits a nice shoulder on O'Reilly and Strong. Cole ends up dropping Keith Lee. Dijakovic dives out and takes him down for a big pop and a huge NXT chant. O'Reilly goes to the top, but Dijakovic stops him and climbs up. Cole stops the superplex. Now, as he stops the superclass, Finn Balor hits the ring and hits a huge big drop kick to Adam Cole's back. Sends him into the referee. Of course, the referee is knocked out at this point. Big chant from the crowd. Balor grabs Ciampa, hits him with a big 1916 in the middle of the ring. Of course, some fans are booing. To me, it would be tough to boo Finn Balor because he goes after everybody. So he plays the classic heel, and I'm a big heel guy. But he, of course, he's taking out Ciampa, so that hurts. But he's taking out Adam Cole, too, so that's positive. As he stands in the corner, he points his guns. Keith Lee with, what is this, 2 weeks in a row with the amazing internet, like, just material, pops up out of nowhere, standing there. Lee grabs him from the side. Balor fights free. Balor charges again, but Lee catches him with a big power bomb in the middle of the ring. Cole super kicks Lee, which, you know, kind of stutters him. Balor takes off. He's out of there. Lee's on the ground because Cole's getting ready to... he drops his knee pad, getting ready to hit him in the back of the head. Lee catches him with a big jackhammer in the middle of the ring for the pin. Huge business. You got Keith Lee pinning the champion. Like I said, this match is 4 out of 5. This was the match that, you know, I needed to end the night. You know, if it was Pete Dunne, Killian Dane, you know, I would have been okay ending the night like that, but this was the match needed after a relatively subpar middle of this show. First match and last three matches were good. Middle three were a bit rough, and you couldn't even call them matches. Two of the three were matches, but one of them never really got started. Overall, the last three matches and the first one saved this event to make it watchable. So what stood out to me match-wise, you had Pete Dunne and Killian Dane, hard-fought match that should continue some type of feud. Kushida returns. Overall, I was glad it was Cameron Grimes facing him and not Mendoza, just because I think it would have been a kind of a squash match if it was Kushida and Mendoza. Grimes did put up a fight. Terrible ending, though. Main event, Undisputed Era versus Keith Lee, Dijakovic, and Ciampa. With Balor coming up and the moves in this match, there is a lot of cohesiveness with all six of these guys who were there. They put on a great show. They've been working together now recently for the last few weeks. It was a very good match. This is definitely the match to see. All three of the matches I mentioned, and including the Matt Riddle match, to be honest, were good matches seeing Cashisono back. The promos tonight, Dakota Kai said she's going to take out Ripley like she did the hood rat Mia Yim. To me, that was just a pretty good line. Kind of covered some of the stuff I said earlier. Undisputed Era, Cole said that they're the Iron Men of NXT and they've had a November to remember. Kind of made me bring me back to the old school ECW pay-per-views. Cassius Ohno said he's the best British NXT wrestler, and he was there to promote the NXT Worlds Collide pay-per-view. Finn Balor, the promo speaking against Undisputed Era and Adam Cole, that was worth a listen. And then Baszler with her just making Ripley's title shot official, which was something I've been looking forward to now for the last couple weeks. Now, where do we go from here? Next week, we got Dakota Kai versus Mia Yim. That has been made official. We also have Leo Rush versus Angel Garza for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Very, very much looking forward to that. Then you have Balor versus Ciampa versus Keith Lee. Now, this match, I'm very happy to see what direction does it go in terms of Ciampa and Lee, as they're both faces. I don't see Ciampa winning this. I don't know who I see winning this, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, if you have Keith Lee win, do you set him up to lose? Because I could see Balor versus Ciampa being more of an actual feud than Lee versus Ciampa or Lee versus Balor. We shall see next week where this goes. And I feel like the one guy who wins sets things up pretty nice. Now, what I could also see is them extending this into having like a fatal four-way that leads into the Worlds Collide pay-per-view, to where we just, you know, kind of focus on this championship and not the NXT UK championship. We also have a couple matches for in 2 weeks from now, which is something I'm really happy about. You have that number one contendership match is going to face Adam Cole. Like I said, I don't know what direction it's going to go. I just can't imagine being clean on either week. And then also 2 weeks from now on the 18th, you're going to have Shayna Baszler versus Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's Championship. A lot of good action, a lot of setting up future weeks, a lot of title feuds and title matches coming up in the next 2 weeks. It was a, you know, above average show tonight. Hope you enjoyed listening to the review. Again, my name is Chris. You can find me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. Please leave any questions or comments. Would love to cover them, and I will talk to you then.